That's right. It's our 300th episode, and get ready to party because I brought lived experience with me on this one. I got a little help to celebrate on the 300th episode of All In the Addicted Gamblers podcast. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And thank you to Gamban and Epic Risk Management for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. And Gamban, guess what? You're going to hear a little shout out because somebody on the show uses your product. Hey! Also, I want to thank everybody who made 300 episodes possible, and that is everybody who's ever been on the podcast or ever listened to the podcast. Thank you very much for making this a thing. I really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to All In the Addicted Gamblers podcast. My name is Brian, and I haven't placed a bet since July of 2014.
And my name is Jeff. I haven't placed a bet since July of 2015.
Jeff, it is our 300th episode.
It is. It's amazing considering your age.
I am a youthful 39. Thank you.
You are. And I hope you stay that way for a few years.
Are you a middle-aged 65?
I wish I was middle-aged. I've seen that middle-aged thing and waved goodbye.
I think you are a youthful 65 because you hang out with a bunch of people who are in their 20s.
Yeah, but I'm actually 66, Brian.
I'm not dating you that far.
Is there any mandatory requirement for this podcast? I mean, the retirement requirement?
I need you to sign over your social security check to me.
Oh, stand in line.
Well, this episode is due to Mr. Shane from our friend from Australia. Shane, hop on here. Shane is here. This is Shane's idea of just to get a bunch of people on here with lived experience to talk about gambling harm and recovery mostly. So Shane, what gave you that idea? And thanks for coming up with it, because I didn't know what to do for the 300th episode.
Thank you, Brian. And good to speak to you guys again. Look, for me, it was pretty simple. It's really been a huge part of my life over the last few years. And I think I've pretty much got through every episode. One or two where it was just Jeff for a bit, a bit challenging, but, look, in all seriousness, it's been huge. And I just thought it'd be a good opportunity to get some people on and hear what everyone's up to and, see where the conversation goes, I guess.
I love it. I love it. I tried my best. I reached out to one person of notes people, and they never responded back to me, as I would assume they would. So, this I thought was a tremendous idea to have lived experience on here and talk about recovery and people who are friends of the show and friends of mine and who are going to come on and talk about their own recovery. So people should be stopping in and out. And if they don't, it'll just be a few of us talking. And if they do, great, because we'll have more people on here and I get to talk less, which is my favorite part. But also joining us right now is Dave Y. Dave is the host of Fall in the Problem Gambling podcast for military service members and veterans. And I'm always surprised that I get that name correct. Dave, what's up? How are you? Thank you for doing this.
No, thanks for inviting me. This is cool. I like this. If you're going to do a 300th episode, this is the way to do it. Just bring a bunch of people together who are sharing some time in recovery and talk about why it's working and what's working and what we're doing and what we're out here sharing and all that kind of good stuff. So it's an honor to be here. I feel great.
Well, let's start. I'm July 23rd, 2014. Jeff, you are muted and you will not be heard from until
You know what? This is embarrassing that I'm muted because, you know, I should be used to that by now, but you know, I don't know when in July, as you know, Brian, because,
yes.
I gambled sometime then, but my mind is a blank.
But it was 2015, correct?
2015. So you had one more year of recovery than me. And that is one of the things that I am most proud of, because I can say I'm younger as a recovery baby.
That is true. That's the beauty part of recovery.
It absolutely
makes you everything you want to be. Shane, what about you, my friend?
I have, similar to Jeff, not sure the exact date, but it was August 2019. So what's that? 2.5 years.
Look at that. 2.5 years now. How's it feel? How'd you do it, Shane?
Took me 20 years to figure it out. No, look, I think I absolutely tried many things. And, you know, to a lot of people that are listening to this, I know that, relapsing is probably common. And I was the king of it. Oh, What a feeling. Yeah, it's part of recovery, right? And again, another thing, one of hundreds of things that I've learned through being a part of this group, listening to the podcast and just taking my knowledge of everything recovery, you know, to that next level. I think I've said before, you know, I was an island to myself for so long, trying to kick the gambling habit. And yeah, this podcast and the group and community that we've created has put so many more tools into my kit bag. And I genuinely believe it's the main reason why I was able to kick it.
Wow. Shane, I just want to know, I mean, every day is the exact same amount of time, but when did it feel like after you started recovery where it wasn't a day-to-day grind, where you sort of were able to pass more days off and not really think about gambling?
Yeah,
it still a day-to-day grind? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, it's definitely less of a grind. Look, I'd be lying if I didn't say that there wasn't the occasional moment where something will be at least a partial trigger, you know, an ad or something I see on TV or just walking around. But I think overall, look, the first 30 days for me was pretty hard. It's boredom as much as anything else that I found. So what do you do? You know, what do you do when you instantly have 8 extra hours in your day? Like, that's a hell of a lot of time.
You do a podcast. That's what takes up time, right?
Yes, it does.
Exactly right.
Yes, it does.
Exactly.
Dave knows that.
Yeah, Dave.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Dave, host of the spinoff of All In. Dave, what's helped you in your recovery? When did it stop seeing like a day-to-day grind and you let the time pass?
Well, first of all, my date is January 6th of 2020. That's my second, by the way, official date. My first official date was June 18th, 2007. And then I had a period in between and gradually kind of built back and hit rock bottom. And in 2020, I started all over again. To be honest, the biggest thing that's helped me, and if I compare this time around with the last time around, the biggest thing that's helped me is connection. Immediately, I reached out to a very, very good friend of mine who also happens to be my sponsor, who also happens to be sitting on this podcast as we speak, who also happens to be wearing a super cool ball cap right now, and his name's Jeff. And I was ashamed. I was guilty. I felt like I was about 3.5 inches tall. I felt like a dirt bag. I felt like I didn't deserve to even have this, but he allowed me into the recovery community. And while I was getting ready to go into treatment, which I went to a VA treatment program, which by the way is world-class, just so you know. You know, while I was waiting to do that, I got to experience recovery with some of the coolest people on the planet. You know, people that genuinely really care about what's going on. And that put my feet solidly on the ground before I got into treatment. And then I got into treatment. And even while I was in treatment, I was able to get on some of the meetings, you know, and after, because that was a 5-week inpatient treatment out in Cleveland. And when I got back out of there, I of course stayed connected with those meetings. I got into a local meeting here, started the podcast, the Fall In podcast for service members. After I connected with you, Brian, through some of the weekend therapy, broadcasts that we were doing, which by the way, they were cool. You know, those were some of the neatest things that we did, was to be able to just talk about it and share openly and honestly without a filter. That meant a lot to me. I just want to let you know that. And then of course I kind of dribbled my way back into, you know, speaking about my recovery and my addiction whenever I get the opportunity. I still have that opportunity. I'm still doing that. You know, and it's just, I've stayed connected to it. And that's been the biggest single difference between this time around and the last time around I quote unquote experienced recovery. Is the last time I thought I got this. And I got this is one, you know, those are three dangerous words for a person who's supposed to be experiencing recovery, because I let go of everything that was working. So now I'm staying connected to it. And man, what a difference.
It's awesome, Dave. It's good to hear. And has talking about it through the podcast helped you even more than you thought?
More than I can possibly tell you, not only to be able to talk about it and express what's going on with me, but now I've got service members reaching out to me that I'm working with who are experiencing similar things to what I went through when I experienced it. And that helps me to stay anchored in my own recovery as well.
Awesome. We were joined by somebody else while Dave was talking. Josh is here. Josh is wearing what is the reverse of an Eagle's cap because the bird is pointed the other way. It's the western side of the United States pointing bird. Is that a Seahawks?
It is.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe I got that out of the blue like that. I feel good about my sports knowledge. Jeff had to go because his video is funky, so he'll be right back. Josh, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. We were all just sharing our date of recovery. You don't have to give the exact date, but approximately, and what it's like in the first bit of recovery and how you've handled it.
Yeah, so I do remember my exact date. It wasn't that long ago, but coming up, it'll be 2 months here soon, January the 8th, 2022. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Way to go. So you'll get you'll get your 90 days. I know I'm not supposed to do that and say that, but you'll get your 90 days on my 40th birthday.
No way, man. No way you're 40 or almost 40.
I will. Yeah, I know. I'm a youthful looking son of a gun.
Well, listen, I listen to your podcast, this podcast all the time, and I picture you and you look way younger than 40, just so you know.
Well, thank you. I feel a bit older than 40, but no, I still feel good. I still feel good. I'm glad you listened. Can I ask you when you started listening and how you found it? I'm always curious, Jeff. I'm always curious.
Yeah, about that. Of course. Yes. I found it pretty much right after I kind of decided to stop betting and gambling. I was in sports betting for a long time, many years. And I kind of realized that I needed more help than just myself. And so I found a therapist and I started listening to your podcast. I kind of searched the gambling addiction podcast and fell in love right away. And I honestly listened to it pretty much daily. And I'm still going through all of the 299 other episodes.
Oh, that's great. That's really nice of you to say. Thank you, Josh. Secondly, I really think you have a nice beard. I'm going to pay you a compliment back and say you have you have an excellent beard. I'm jealous of the thickness of it.
well, thank you very much, Brian. And I really appreciate it. And like I said, that you have helped me stay, bet free for the last almost 50 days. And so honestly, your words are inspiring and all the guests that you have. And, in fact, I've heard a few of the people that are on here, of course, Jeff, Dave, and a few others, and they're great. And I enjoy talking to them or listening to them while you guys talk. So I appreciate it. It's very good. This time around, I needed more than just I'm going to stop. And so I bet for 12, 13 years and now no more.
I'm glad to hear that. What's it been like just 50 days in? Are you moment to moment right now in dealing with it, or have you found it okay to get through?
Yeah. So for me, it's getting a little bit easier and easier every day. I'm not in the moment to moment right now where I'm kind of stressing about it. I've kind of started to recognize some of the triggers that I had. And a lot of that had to do with just lots of cash, disposable cash or dispensable cash, just having that in your pocket or knowing that you're going to have money that, you know, maybe your wife doesn't know about. And those are the things that kind of triggered me. And I was able to, if I was to go to the mailbox and somehow found a check for a couple $100, no one needs to know about that but me. And so for me, avoiding carrying cash and has kind of been one thing to help me. I was also using sports betting apps, and I deleted those apps, and Gamban is also another thing that I use. And so, yeah, but they're just great. They're great things. And
they're going to love that
in there for you. Yeah. it's been a combination of things. I have so much support around me with, it's honestly, I'm doing something daily. It's a GA meeting. It's a support group meeting. It's a podcast. It's a counseling session. It's all the things. And I think that especially early on, you need those things to kind of strengthen that and get your kind of foundation set before you try to go out there on your own again.
Josh, I don't want to give away all your personal information, but can you share whereabouts you are? You don't have to give the exact anything.
Yeah. So you notice the Seahawks hat. I'm from Seattle originally. I moved to Tennessee. back in 2006. So I actually live in Tennessee now.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I'm actually near the Kentucky border, but I've been here since 2006. I still call Seattle home. I still root for the Seahawks, but I'm almost a Southerner at this point.
Oh man, we were so close. I was in North Carolina for a while. We were just a stone's throw. How have you found the resources in Tennessee? Have you used any of the resources in Tennessee other than GA at all?
That's actually a great question. My wife and I were researching just yesterday because we had to travel through a few states, including Alabama and Mississippi. And so we were driving along and we caught all the billboards and, you know, the different advertising, and we found a council billboard advertisement for Alabama, but nothing. There is no national, or there's no, you know, council in Tennessee. There's not a lot of resources. Let's put it that way. When I was searching for counseling there's not really any certified gambling counselors in Tennessee. And Tennessee just legalized sports betting mobily in the last 2 years or so. And I know it's going to get bad. It got bad for me, and I know it's going to get worse. So for me, it's GA, it's support groups. It's like I said, the podcast and things like that for me.
That's really great.
Interestingly, Josh, I got an email this week from somebody in Tennessee saying the same thing that you just said, that there's really no resources out there in terms of GA meetings or group chats, and wanted to know if I knew any. And I always respond to questions like that saying, you know, there's so many GA links all over the world, literally, that people can just hop on. And of course, there's our group. But yeah, it's an issue. I don't think I don't think there's a gambling council either that is active. So it is, it's very challenging. But glad you found us.
Yeah, I'm me too. And for me, it's funny. For as far as Gamblers Anonymous, there's very little, obviously, in-person meetings anywhere around the country right now, but especially here, there's not even any virtual meetings, basically, especially for me getting off. I get off work late, so I actually found meetings on the West Coast to go to because, you know, for me, it's you know, later on in the night, but for them, it's just kind of the normal time. But yeah, even local, like if I wanted to go to a local meeting, I can't. There's no local meetings.
So we have a sports better. Oh, go ahead, Shane.
Oh, no. Oh. I was just going to ask just a slightly different question. In the theme and in the spirit of 300 episodes and probably 3,000, no, maybe not 3,000, but a lot of the calls that we've had, probably to yourself and Jeff, what's a real moment that stood out for you, or one or two, in terms of an uprise and an uplifting moment that really stands out for you across all those conversations?
Well, the one that always stands out for me, and it's not, I don't mean this to sound negative, but it's sad. And that's, boy, I think in the 20s, there was a gentleman, John from the UK, joined, and his son had died by suicide as a result of his gambling addiction. So that's the episode that always stands out for me, because suicidality, as I learned way after that episode, is the highest with regards to gambling addiction when compared to other addictions. And so that is the episode that always stands out for me. Ones that stand out that I, Judge Moss, when she first came on, that kind of opened the door to have other people on, because I could point and say, a judge came on, so you can come on, which was awesome. She's been very kind. And Jeff really opened up the doors to getting people in from the different councils, because he introduced me to them. And so that has been very valuable, just to get the word of help out, just to let everybody know what exists where. Clearly, I haven't talked to anybody in Tennessee, because there is no help. But those episodes, and then, I mean, what stands out the most is that even if people after they've been on have relapsed, they get clean time, and through one way or another, it's possible to stop gambling and do it well. And, you know, as I said, I relapsed, so it's not uncommon that happens. But once, if you can just get back to it and try to fight that shame off that you might feel from relapsing and just get back to recovery, it can happen. And so, I mean, all of the lived experience stories, for sure. It's hard to pick out one lived experience story. I mean, there's a lot of interesting ones. I mean, Dave's was incredible. I mean, Dave dealt with suicidality. And Dave, I don't know if you want to comment on that. I'm talking about your story, but.
No, I mean, it's, I'm at a point where it's for me to be able to tell that story. I'm grateful that I can talk about it because, you know, I used to detach from it. When I told that story, I used to be able to tell the story like I was telling somebody else's story. And, you know, now I can connect to that story and I can feel, you know, still feel some of the feelings that go along with it, which is a good thing because now I'm able to process it better. I'm able to live through it better. And it's a much different experience for me. One thing that I want to say to you about this thing and 300 episodes into this thing is the sheer amount of outreach that's come from this and other podcasts like this, but I'll focus on this one specifically. And the number of people that have reached out for help and have said, I need some help. And I'm listening to Josh as we're talking. You know, Josh is a perfect example of what we're talking about, right? Josh heard this podcast. Josh is engaged in this podcast and he wants recovery. And he's, you know, he's found a place where while he's looking for something near him that he can go to, he can at least reach out to you and say, okay, who's Brian got on this week that I can listen to? Who are Brian and Jeff talking to that are going to get me through this week until I can find where I need to? You know, that's powerful. Brian, that's powerful. And I don't know if you realize just the influence that you have on people like me and on people like Josh and on people like Shane. And as we work our way through recovery and we get recovery behind us, how powerful the thing that you do really is.
Well, thank you for saying that. I think that's a good time to explain the title of the show, which is All in the Addicted Gamblers with an apostrophe S, showing that it's the Gamblers podcast. I always thought it's not mine. That's where the title came from is, I hope it's for all of the people who are struggling. So that's why it's not called like the Brian Hatch Show. That'd be an odd title for somebody you've never heard of. But that's why that title exists. And so I'm glad through the lived experience stories, I mean, say it all the time. And Jeff knows this podcast doesn't exist unless people are willing to come on and share their stories. I mean, even if I talk to everybody in all the councils in the world, nobody's going to want to listen until they can hear from a gambler. Somebody who lived it. And that's you guys. That's all of you who have come on. And, you know, I hope Josh will one day come on longer time frame and expound now that he's been on for a short time here. But it's you guys who have come on. And Shane, you came on early and you ran into some trouble and you came back after that trouble and you told another story. You stayed in touch. You didn't lose touch and disappear. You came back, and that shows resilience, and that's really cool in recovery to be able to do that.
Brian, do you see much difference in the different, like how many downloads you get based on the type of episode? Like, is there a lived experience versus someone from the industry? Like, is there much of a trend there in terms of
how many listens? I've noticed that when we get somebody from the UK on to share their lived experience. And this was evident with like Dan Spencer's podcast that we did, Jeff. Those seem to shoot a little higher. And I would imagine that is true because gambling harm is more prevalent and talked about over in the UK than it is here in the States. So there's more people listening to those episodes. But overall, the episodes are pretty evenly distributed. I mean, not everybody in lived experience wants to listen to an hour of a clinician every time say something that another clinician has also previously said. Now, I'm a big believer that each episode could be somebody's first episode. So I do ask the same questions a lot of the times to the clinicians just to explain gambling harm. But as far as downloads, it's pretty evenly spread out. I will say the last 3 months have been the best 3 months of in the last 7 years, as far as numbers, the numbers have just grown in the last few months. This month is the best month ever. February has been the highest downloaded month in all 7 years and all 300 episodes. So I think again, like with the UK and the members who the lived experience who share their stories from the UK, I think that goes to show you where we're headed here in the States with the numbers going up of listening to gambling harm podcasts. And it's being talked about more. I know Jeff has been and Dave have done interviews with reporters. Christina and myself have all done these interviews with reporters, and that never happened before this year. I was never talking to reporters before this year. I think Jeff, maybe you did because you work for the council, but I just think right now with the amount of gambling available and the accessibility, we're going to see those numbers go up even more because people are looking for resources. People like Josh, who live in a state where they have to shrug their shoulders and go, I couldn't find anything. So I Googled something and he found us.
I also think that it's the, sorry, Dave. I also think that it's really the influx of commercials in certain markets where sports betting, online sports betting has become legal. Now you don't have to convince people that gambling is everywhere because all they have to do is turn on the television. I know I'm in the Philadelphia market and you can't watch television on any of the networks and even on a lot of the cable stations that have commercials without seeing commercials for the online operators. And it's just crazy. And, you know, that's certainly, in my view, that's a negative. I mean, it, especially for people that are in recovery and get triggered by these things. But the positive side of it is it's out there. And where, you know, just from my perspective, working for a problem gambling council, where you had to sort of, you know, educate people about the prevalence of gambling and gambling harm. Now people see it and they understand how it has just taken over sports for one thing. And so I think that's really has had a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah, I want to kind of bounce on that too a little if I can, and just let you know that, you know, I work part-time as an addiction therapist and I work in a drug and alcohol center. I offered my services to work with gamblers and to do some problem gambling, you know, educational groups and whatnot. And it's amazing now the amount of people that are coming out of the woodwork now that are dealing with problem gambling and that are talking about specifically online sports betting and gambling, Jeff, just like you mentioned. I'm also in the Philly market, so I see those same ads and I see that same bombardment every single day. You know, and people are beginning to talk more about it like it's more common. It used to be, you know, years ago, yeah, you'd have the person here and there who would say, yeah, I'm a degenerate gambler. And I can't stand that term, by the way. But now what you're hearing is, you know what? Here in Pennsylvania, they have these things, they're called skill machines. They're nothing more than like digital slot machines, but they're in every single mini market you can get into here in Pennsylvania. You know, there's more and more people talking about those. There's more people talking about online sports betting. There's more people talking about online casino. You know, even when you talk to people who don't gamble, you know, heavily, when you bring those terms up, there's a lot more familiarity with it than there used to be. So, you know, I've been saying for years, the wave is coming. Well, I think the wave's here. And, you know, it's unfortunate. We're going to see that wave crash over us. And I hope that we're ready to handle it because it's going to be huge. And what you're seeing over in the UK right now, all the bombardment in the UK and all the fighting back to try and get the ads out of sports and, you know, get help for these guys and prevent gambling harms is all the things that you're going to see here too, because it's just growing too quick. And there's right now, everybody's got the blinders on because there's too much money to be made in it, but there's going to come a point where the industry can't not pay attention to it anymore, where they're going to have to. So I totally agree with you, Jeff.
Shane, I want to ask you the same question you asked me, but first I want to say hi to Christina, who joined us. Christina is a fellow podcaster, another lived experience person who decided to put their voice where they're put their, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Christina also wanted to talk about her gambling and the harm that it's caused, and specifically about women, but it's not just for women, obviously. Christina, thanks for joining the 300th episode. It's good to see you. Christina and I also do a YouTube program about gambling addiction harm that Jeff has been on, and it's called The Bet Free Life. Christina, what's up?
Sorry, I came in hot with my
funny.
I didn't realize I wasn't on mute, and somebody sent me a video and it like popped up and I was like, oh, sorry, I came just out of another meeting, so my apologies.
No, you're good. Don't worry about it.
You
don't need
have
to apologize.
Yeah, thanks for doing this podcast. Like, yeah, your voice was so inspiring to me, which is what started this. And, you know, it's that ripple effect, right? When we do something, put ourselves out there, it ripples, right? And you are top of that ripple for all of us podcasters in this community. And so a big thank you, I'm sure, on behalf of all those people. So, yeah. And I just want to say, while we're talking about all the sports betting, because I know it's such a big thing right now, and I'm I'm very thankful people are talking about it. That I still want to say, you know, women are struggling and there are some women sports bettors, but I just don't want us to get lost in the mix either. So I just want to bring awareness to that very much so. So thank you, Brian.
You will never be lost in the mix, in my eyes for sure. Christina, we were all sharing our dates just to give everybody who's listening an idea of where we all are in our recovery.
Yes. I last placed a bet March 6, 2021.
Ooh, we're right there. That's exciting.
And I did sign up for therapy, Jeff.
Therapy meeting, just to clarify for anybody who's not familiar with it. Right. And Eric is joining us. And Eric, great to see you. And you're the new guy. You're the new guy. So what's your date, Eric?
I'm the baby. December 19th, 2021 is my date. I know how many days it's been, but I didn't know the date, so I had to look it up. But yeah, December 19th.
Are you, tell me about that. You're a day counter?
I mean, right now it's so fresh. I'm a day counter. I have a goal that I set, for 90 days, with, especially with Jeff, who helped me early on in my recovery. And I think when I first started, I was trying to take on too much. I wanted to not only take on my recovery, but help everybody else out in recovery and kind of take on the world. And Jeff gave me really good advice, telling me to slow down, get to 90 days, take it one step at a time. So yeah, for me, you know, right now it's 90 days and then I'm going to reassess that goal. And eventually my goal is not to be a day counter, but yes, right now I am. Yeah.
You know, Eric, that advice, so to speak, that I gave you is only because I experienced the same thing. I remember in a GA meeting where I started giving advice, my third meeting, and somebody very compassionately, but firmly took me outside and said, you know, we call people that do what you did a two-stepper. And I said, what's a two-stepper? And they said, they go right from step one to step 12. You know, step one is the first step in most, if not all, recovery programs of, you know, just admitting you were powerless over gambling, that your life has become unmanageable. And then all the way to step 12 is, you know, sharing the message with others. And, you know, what was explained to me is the importance of sharing the message by people seeing what you've accomplished in recovery. And, you know, you can't accomplish much in a couple of weeks, although it's awesome that, you know, people come into recovery and, you know, and commit to it. But it's basically having that experience in recovery that is so impactful, especially for others, because you give others hope and they see that you've shared some of the horrible things that you went through in active addiction and where you are now in recovery and how much your life has improved. And to me, that is the most valuable message that you can share with others. But if you skip all of a sudden wanting to help, and I get that because that's how I felt. It's almost like, you know, you want to help others, but subconsciously maybe it is a way to sort of distract from your own recovery and focus on other people. And, you know, that's probably not the healthiest thing, but I am glad that you're here, that, you know, you have gone through the 90 days. It's the first big milestone that we all recognize. And one of many, but yeah, you've been committed, and you know, keep it up.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you,
Eric. What kind of betting were you doing?
I was all over the place. I mean, I was gambling for about 18 years. So in my younger years, it was playing scratch offs. I was 18, right around the poker boom, 2003, 2004. Really got into poker for probably 2 or 3 years, played it every day online and in person. And then once I joined the military, they used to, so I was in the Navy and we would be on a ship. We'd be out to sea for months at a time and we'd pull into a port and you get on a bus and they take you to wherever they're going to drop you off. And then you're kind of free to do whatever, but they would drop you off right in front of a casino. And I don't know if it was an agreement with the countries, or I imagine that it definitely wasn't an accident. And that kind of introduced me a little bit to the casino world and blackjack and roulette and kind of that world. So then I got into that a little bit. And then when you go into a casino recently, now you can sports bet, especially in, up in Connecticut, North Carolina, Biloxi, you know, all those places. And I got in, I love sports. I've always loved sports. And I started betting on sports. And that's when I really went off the deep end, was sports betting for me. And it started in a casino, and then it got to my phone. And then I could be at my house in my bed making a bet on sports with a beer in my hand any time of the day, whether it's in, whether it's a cricket match, whether it's ping pong in Singapore or football in America, you can find a bet. And I've always kind of been an escape gambler. So for me, escaping what I didn't want to deal with was very easy, and it was readily available 24 hours a day. And that's when I went off the deep end, you know, for me.
You mentioned being able to place a bet any time of the day. And I know just in not even a few of the people from your group, Jeff, have mentioned before placing a bet while going to the bathroom. And that, to me, always sticks out. But I want to go back to what you said about being dropped off in front of casinos, because it wasn't until Christina said it to me in an episode of The Bet Free Life where she pointed out that a casino is a safe place. There's security. It's open 24 hours. There's people there. So to drop a bunch of military members off at a place, the military can probably think, well, there's security there. They're going to get in less trouble at a casino than they would at a bar, even though you can drink at a casino, but the casino is just more secure. I have no idea if that's the reason, but I'd never thought of a casino as a safe place until Christina pointed it out to me. And I think, Christina, you pointed that out more for as a single woman, you didn't want to go to the bar. You wanted to go someplace that you found safe to be able to just get out of the house and go do something.
Right. And I think it's very common too, not just for like women, but empty nesters, retirees. Like, I feel like they think it's a safe place too for them. Safe in the sense of like their security, mm-hmm. and it's well lit, not safe as in like you're safe, like mentally safe.
Right.
Place.
Yeah, that's something that's, I never even thought associated a casino with that. So that's actually pretty fascinating to hear that. And I cannot relate to that. I appreciate you sharing that. It's pretty eye-opening to me. But for the military, you got 5,000 people who've been out to sea for 2 months, can't spend any money out there. So you get a full bank account. If 5,000 people spend $1,000 in the port call, which is, I'm sorry to bring up money here, but
you're fine.
$5 million that this ship is investing in this economy. So I think it was very calculated to do that, you know, but that's just my opinion.
Hey. Christine, I wanted to ask you a question about not only about women, but the whole idea of, you know, having a women's group or a women's preferred group, because as you know, we're starting in our group a young members meeting, so young members can connect with each other. And I've gotten some interesting feedback from people, usually that have not really been in our group, but in other groups. And they question whether or not it is appropriate to have meetings just within a certain demographic, because from their viewpoint, the whole idea of a support group in recovery is to be exposed to all different kinds of people, all different stories, levels of addiction, number of days, weeks, months, years in recovery. And if it is too limited in terms of the other people that you are in your group and that you share with, then the idea maybe is that you're not really being exposed to the whole spectrum of people in recovery. And I wondered how you would respond to that kind of a concern.
Well, I think very much for me, it's like I host a women's preferred meeting every Sunday, just got out of one. And I shared in that group like more than I've shared in, I would have, a mixed group of men and women. So I think it's very important in my recovery to have females who I can share emotions that maybe men can't connect with. But I also feel like it's up to us individually to search for what we need more. So like I'm in these groups with you, Jeff, and they're amazing and they're so helpful. But a group of women talking about emotions that men may not all men, not classifying all men, but most men will not connect with. And, you know, like we're all crying in this meeting and it's a huge connection that I have not experienced in a meeting with men. And so, yes, it's extremely imperative to my own recovery. And, so that's what I would say is like, do what you need to do for you. And I see the value in everybody's experience, everybody's, wisdom, strength, experience, hope. I see the value in all of that. But there's tremendous value woman to woman.
Danielle, go ahead. And if you would just share your date. Danielle is also the co-host of the Gambling Got the Girls podcast. And if you just, yeah, share your date just to give people an idea of where you are in your recovery.
Sure. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Jeff. My name is Danielle. My last bet was July 31st of 2018. And yes, just like Brian said, I am part of the Gambling Got the Girls podcast. And as soon as Jeff answered that, I was like, asked that, I had to jump and raise my hand on here because as a female in recovery, we've actually talked about it on the Gambling Got the Girls podcast a few times of different aspects of recovery and how for most females will feel more comfortable sharing certain aspects of maybe their past that could have impacted them and why they got into gambling with other females. Like for me, I needed a female sponsor. I was not going to be good with a male sponsor because there's things that I just wouldn't feel comfortable sharing with a male. And I think like Christina said, the ability to be in multiple different groups, not just one, is very impactful because I get a lot from women's groups and talking to women, but I also get a lot from my in-person meetings and these meetings where there's men and women on here. And so I think that that is a big distinction. You have to, there's a lot of forms of recovery. And for me, I needed both. I needed the just with the women. And then I needed the other groups too. So I think that that's important.
You know, that's a great point. I also think that when some people are new in recovery, they are anxious and they have a bit of hesitation about sharing. And if they start out with a group of people that they really can relate to, whether it's other women or younger people or any of the demographics, it allows them sometimes to get that immediate connection and see the value and they get comfortable. And hopefully that would lead them to expand their recovery resources and be exposed to others and have a better understanding how, you know, you could be have played poker and got addicted that way. Brian and I could have, you know, done slot machines. Somebody else could have done sports betting. But as you know, when we share our emotions and our experiences, we all connect because it's all the same. And so I think it's a good stepping stone. And I agree with both you and Christina that there is a certain amount of comfort in being able to share things with people that are similar to you and you feel more comfortable in doing that with. So I think it's great. And, you know, we have a lot of women in our group and it's awesome to have them in that group. But I totally get the fact that there are some meetings that are nice to just be with other women and then you can talk about men and how terrible they are.
I'm guessing that's not what they're talking about, but Oh, it is. just to reset, this is the 300th episode of All in the Addicted Gamblers podcast, and we are joined with everybody with lived experience. We put out a big invite to a bunch of different people, and we've had some wonderful people talk so far. I want to get to a few other people who have joined us who haven't spoken yet. If you would just start with however you track your recovery in whichever way, just to give people an idea of where you're at. Kelly has joined us. Kelly's been on an episode of the podcast. Kelly, how are you? Good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Brian, and congratulations on the 300 episodes. That's absolutely fantastic. I'm Kelly, compulsive gambler, and my last bet was December 27th of 2018. And I am doing very, very well in my recovery, I would say. But I'm very aware that that could change at any moment. So I just want to give you a little bit of perspective on what you guys were just talking about. And I've joined when without even having that first question there. And the way I relate sometimes too is that I think I need a mix. And I know it's different for women, and I know it's different for men. And when I go to a GA group, when there's only men, it does have a different feel to it. And and I'm not saying that that's bad or good or anything like that. I'm just, I get something different from the women's perspective than what I get from the men's perspective. And I really enjoy the mix of it all. And I'm sorry if I offend anybody. I know I'm not meaning it that way, but because I've always had trouble with my emotions and all that stuff. And in front of other men, I don't portray that. And when I was in a GA meeting once, and there were three other women and myself, and it was really great. And I was able to be more emotional and very upfront. And I feel very comfortable talking in that way. And I think that's important for your recovery to have that mix as well. And I know we were talking more about the exclusion aspect of it, but I think for my recovery, I think it was great that I have all the different perspectives, because I get different things from different people. And the reason why I'm doing good right now is, like, one thing I wanted to share with you guys here today is that, of course, March is Problem Gambling Month, and it's the same for me as well. And I have the opportunity to join one of the conferences here in my province. I am in Canada, and I am able to speak at one of these conferences as a lived experience person. And that's feeling really good. I'm very nervous about it right now, but I think that that's a step in the right direction for me in terms of getting, I think the lived experience is very important to share with the gambling industry and share with the professionals that deal with gamblers with gambling problems. And I think that's important for all of us to do. So what you do here on the podcast, Brian, I've listened to all your episodes, I'm pretty sure. And it's absolutely fantastic. And I love being in the meetings when we first had those meetings after COVID started. And and I enjoyed sharing my story on your podcast. And we got into different things, and those things, not all of them always happen, but I think for me, I'm in the place that I need to be right now. And that's what I always tell myself is, everything happened for a reason, and whatever happened, it did happen, and it couldn't have happened any other way because it didn't, right? It's just the way it works for me. So thanks for having me, and congratulations again.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you for doing that. And thank you for sharing your lived experience. And as I said earlier, I appreciate the congratulations, but this podcast only exists because other people come on and share their stories. And that's everybody who's here right now, including our next guest, who is Greg. Greg, how are you? Greg, I have quoted your story to other people because sometimes I think poker is looked at differently, and I think you understand that. And so to be able to point to your story and say, well, here's somebody who played poker and did well, but they're in the same room I am. And that's always my go-to, is this person's in the same room I am. And that goes for people who gambled on bingo or gambled at the casino or played poker or what have you, sports betting. So thanks for being here, Greg. How are you?
Good, Brian. Thanks for having me. And again, congratulations to you guys, to you and Jeff. When I started my recovery in February of 2020, I think I binged through all of the podcasts when I was in that, pink cloud stage where I needed to get all of the information I could. I listened to every podcast and got in touch with Jeff and joined this group, which I do say, and I don't really think it's an exaggeration, that it kind of saved my life. Gambling was always part of my life, and it was really, really tough for me to admit that I had a problem with it. But like Kelly was saying, I feel like where I'm at now, I had a relapse in September of last year. I think I kind of needed it. It kind of woke me up to the fact that I'm never, going to be cured from this. And it's not something that is something that I can take lightly. It's something I need to put at the top of my priority list and really think about and work on. Because I found out, for me, is the time I'm most vulnerable is when things are going well in my life and things are getting back to normal and I have more, you know, financial stability. It's going, getting better. And then I kind of felt myself, you know, let off the pedal a little bit with my recovery and the process of talking to people and sharing my story and all the good stuff, the stuff that actually worked for me. You know, it was the only thing that, that ever really worked for me is this group and listening to podcasts and, you know, like I said, putting recovery at the top of my priority list. And, you know, we talk within the group a lot. It's easy to make excuses. Life is, it gets in the way. Everybody has stuff going on in their lives and it's hard to, you know, make it to meetings and put this time aside. But when you think about it, we put hours and hours and days of our lives aside to gamble. And that was our number one priority when we were doing it. So yeah, like I'm pretty much in the same boat as Kelly now. I feel really, really good about where I'm at in my life. I'm trying to do a lot more giving back, which is what you guys do on a daily basis. I've been in touch with a lot of new people that have joined the group on the side, just talking to people. Selfishly, it makes me feel really, really good. And for them, I hope it's giving them some positive feedback and helping them out along their recovery as well. And I'm also in the process of trying to work for a company as well, sharing my story. I'm going to be doing some of that in the future also. I'm just trying to do this. And it obviously, like I said, it helps me, but I think you've said this multiple times, Brian, like you kind of started the podcast as a way for you to talk your therapy and to help yourself. And I feel the exact same way, but it's also awesome to reach out to people that felt the same hurt as I felt. And I need to be reminded of that kind of on a daily basis that like what I did, cause it's easy for me to just coast when things, you know, get better. So yeah, I'm really excited to be able to share my story more, talk to more people about gambling, the dangers of gambling, just give people a way to reach out to me and just have conversations at any time. So yeah, everything's going really well for me. I credit your podcast. I credit this group and all these, you know, amazing people that I get to have these meetings with pretty much every day of the week, if I can commit myself to make it there. So yeah, thank you guys for everything you do. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you so much. I'm excited that you're going to be sharing your story more because it's a hell of a story. Real quick, we're going to get to Tara and Chris in just a moment. I just want, Jeff, can you comment about the group and where the group came from and how the group started? Because it started not because of the podcast, but just in the course of the podcast.
Yeah, sure. I was actually wanting to say something. We all, except Chris, who's an oddball, we all are in the Problem Gambling Support Group. And all of us now, not to say that everybody that has been on the podcast is also in that group, but it just so happens that all of us here are in that group. And, you know, I want people that are listening to know that we are all voluntarily coming on the podcast and sharing our story because we feel that that is something that is of value given our place in recovery. But the group itself and the meetings that we have are anonymous. They're not recorded. They're not put on the podcast. And I remember when COVID started and the lockdown sort of, eliminated the opportunities for people to go to GA meetings and group meetings. One of the things that Brian and I talked about is, wouldn't it be nice to have people who are willing to do this and ready to do this to come on the podcast and let's have a group meeting on the podcast to show people that maybe haven't had that experience or maybe are a little bit uncomfortable of what goes on in a support group meeting. And it's a way to listen and it's a way for us to share. And we did that. But as you remember, Brian, we were very careful in terms of making sure everyone that was sharing knew that this was going to be on the podcast. It was going to be broadcast. Not that, you know, it necessarily meant, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are going to listen. Maybe one day they will. But there is obviously that level of anonymity that is broken as a result of it. And, you know, I've always had the philosophy of if you are ready to share and, you know, do it in a public forum, that's great. If you're not, that's important that you preserve anonymity, and everybody has to make those decisions themselves.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to see you, Eric. Take care. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to get to Chris in just a second. I want to say hi to Tara. Tara is the host of the Ambitious Addicts podcast, as well as a member of the group and also lived experience. Tara, how are you? Would you just talk a little bit about your recovery and then whatever else you want to say?
Yeah. Hi, Tara, compulsive gambler. I'm a person in long-term recovery from compulsive gambling. Last bet was July 30th of 2016.
Another July.
Congratulations, you two. 300 episodes. This is incredible. And maybe congratulations is not the right word, as I'm hearing what everyone else is saying, but truly thank you. Thank you for the podcast, for the inspiration, for the belief that a compulsive gambler could have a podcast and talk about compulsive gambling publicly. I struggled with that question of anonymity myself. And I think hearing you two talk so openly, both with one another and with other people, really helped me see what was possible in preserving anonymity, honoring anonymity, that a program I'm in asks of me and I'm happy to do, and I'm not a representative of a program, but I am an individual who really wants to help people stop suffering from compulsive gambling. And so I'm just really grateful that this podcast exists. I'm doing great in my recovery, you know, continuing to work a program and continuing to do my part, what little I can to impact others and share a little experience, strength, and hope that other people know that they are not alone. So I don't want to take up too much space here. I know I've got other people to greet. I appreciate the invitation to be here, and that'll pass.
No, thank you, Tara. Thank you for everything you do. And I very much enjoyed being on your podcast. This is really cool. It's so great that you all are here, especially for this part, because the original host and the co-creator of this very podcast, my best friend in the world, Chris, is here to join us and say hello. He last said hello on episode 200. He was nice enough to join. He climbs out of his children's grasp once every 100 episodes to stop by and see how we're doing. And Chris, what do you think, man? Look at this. Look at what you started all those years ago.
Well, now I feel kind of bad. I didn't realize that the last one I was on was the 200. I feel like that was just, oh shit, though. You moved away a while ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing? This is, I can't fucking believe this is amazing. Hey, Jeff, I'm so surprised. I did not expect this to be like a cavalcade of people. And it's amazing that not only is this still going, that you've attracted, you know, followers. You have, am I to understand that you guys now have like a, your own GA group, or not GA specifically, but your own helpful group?
Yep.
Support group. That's awesome.
Yeah, Jeff started that.
All right. No. Congratulations, everybody, for, you know, X number of days not gambling. Would it be too ridiculous for me to say that I think the last time I gambled was, I don't know, with you? And
probably was, yeah.
Maybe like, I don't know, a long time ago.
Well, Chris, let me give you this. Whenever I tell my story, I say that my friend walking out of the casino looked at me and said, "You have a problem and you need to get help." And that was you. And that was the first time another person had ever said that to me. And that's what made me go seek out help. And now it didn't last right away, but it did make me go seek out help. And that was because you said that to me.
That's because you were a sneaky fucker and you were hiding the fact that you had a problem from everyone for so long.
Yes, that is also true. But then the last day I placed a bet, who did I call? I called you. Because I was in trouble, and I called my friend to say, I did it again, I believe is the phrase I used. And you tried your best to help me in that moment. I was trying to solve all my problems in 5 minutes. But what really helped me was 6 months later when we started the podcast. And that was just simply, hey, man, I want to talk about my gambling, but I can't do it by myself. Would you do it with me? And it'll be like free therapy for me. And that's how it started. That's how this started.
Very true. Basically, I remember, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, sitting in your house in Durham, getting this started. Yeah.
Hey, Chris, I just wanted to say, Chris, I wanted to thank you because, you know, you and I have met, I guess it was the 200th episode, but I got acquainted with Brian and the podcast by just listening. In fact, probably it was 3 months earlier that somebody had to tell me what a podcast was. And then I started to search it and I said, wow, there's a gambling addiction podcast. And I thought it was so cool that Brian was sharing his story with you, being a non-gambler and certainly a non-problem gambler. And I found it entertaining and informative. And that's what drew me. I thought it was hysterical. You know, I'll never forget that those stories of, you know, the antics of the two of you and especially Brian's story in Vegas. And it was that perfect mixture of real sadness because it was a horrible experience for him in terms of his addiction, but it was also funny. And you can't help but laugh at it as well because of the funny situations that we're in. And to me, that's what is the big, at least for me, it was the big draw. It wanted me to listen and to see what happened in Brian's journey and how you handled it. So I want to thank you for that. And little did I know that I would be involved in it in the way that I was. But, you know, and that's how the support group sort of grew out of that. And as Christine mentioned earlier, it's all about connection, and you know, you do one thing and it sort of takes you on this path to explore something else. And now we have a lot of podcasts. We have a lot of tools for people in the States. We have a long way to go, but it's not just, you know, one size fits all. So good to see you again, Chris.
Thanks, man. You guys are doing fantastic without me. So let's just keep doing what you're doing. How about that?
I never anticipated 300. So who knows? Earlier Shane said 3,000. I was like, if I live to be as old as Jeff is, maybe. If.
Yeah, it's a funny, good to meet you, Chris. I've heard you so many times. It's good to put a face to the voice. I was just going to add in on what you said there, Jeff, around, you know, the humor side of it. So many times I've thought about making a topic around humor and like funny, almost funny things that you experience that various points in time of gambling, but I've never quite got there because I just feel like it's such a challenging topic in the context of something that's so serious and generally negative. But I can really, to your point, I can relate to the occasional humorous moments that, you know, I found as well in gambling and some of the situations that you get yourself in.
I think Brian and I just got real lucky because we're both just very irreverent. It doesn't matter how serious or heartbreaking even the topic can be. He and I usually manage to find a way to put our foots in our mouths, but thanks.
Chris is, I'll share this with you. Chris is when my dad died, and I've told that story before on the podcast. Chris's favorite joke now is to constantly bring that up to me whenever he is given the opportunity. And you would think that's morbid and it's off-putting, but it's not. I just keep thinking, wow, my friend keeps talking about my dad all these years after he died. And I find it, I mean, it's heartwarming to me in that way. Even though his jokes are harsh and cut, but it's still heartwarming to me that he thinks of my father to bring him up. So that is our sense of humor. And that is, I've known Chris since I was 14. And the first thing I will share this because I've talked about everything else on the podcast. The very first thing that Chris ever said to me ever in my entire life was, Brian, do you smoke weed? We were 14 at the lunch table and I had just come from a Catholic school over to the public school. And this is what this is what I run into. And somehow, some way, here he is all these years later, we're knocking on 40's door and we're still best friends. So it's been a great run, buddy. Thank you for creating this podcast with me.
It really has been. But I want to do a quick shout out to Brad, your dad, because that's the town that we grew up in, Pinckney. The town council put together these cheap, ridiculous Midwestern redneck t-shirts to give to everybody in town. And like the both sides, front and back, are just like these childlike drawings of the town. They were, I don't know, pretty ubiquitous. They were all over the place. You hung on to one. I don't know. That was your dad's, right? You had that t-shirt for years and years. And somehow it ended up with my wife. And so now that she always wears that t-shirt around the house. That is her favorite go-to, like lounging, chilling t-shirt. And it is a constant reminder of your dad. And I get a kick out of like the random steps that t-shirt's taken to get to where it is.
That's funny. Good old Pinckney, Michigan. It's where it all started. Well, Chris, it's good to see you. And thank you so much for joining us for this. And I should say, given out everybody else's podcast, Chris has rejoined the podcasting world and he's the host of his own podcast called Movie Sack, where he talks about movies with his friends. I'm one of his friends. So that's really cool. And he's hosting that now. So he's moved on to lighter topics, but still with the same irreverence and fun. Got to get to our next guest, who joined us just now. Stone Cold Steve Delaney is here along with his wife, Kelly. Steve, busting out your Second Amendment pipes there on the sides.
Oh my God. Sorry, Brian. Yeah, we went to the gym earlier today and I just didn't change it.
Well, I can tell you're bursting at the seams, my man. Recovery has treated you well.
Yeah, I mean, hey man, just like with recovery, if you put the work in here, you can get, you know, you put the work in here, you can get these too.
That is, you know what? That always, everybody always says the physical and the mental go together, and you're proving that.
Yeah.
And I'd love to get to that spot. I'm a little behind. But Steve and Kelly, it's good to see you guys. Would you just tell us a little bit about you guys, your story and your recovery date, a little bit about recovery?
My last day to bet was 5/2/21. I was a daily fantasy sports player. I played off and on for several years, probably 4 or 5 years. My wife, Kelly, caught me 2 different times. The first time I did not take it seriously. I saw it kind of like as my past drug addictions where I want to just kind of get past it, push it behind me and just move on. But the second time around, I really dove headfirst into this, realizing that, you know, this is not a coincidence that I've had multiple drug addictions in the past. I had this issue with gambling come back up. And then once again, I just couldn't stop. So off and on, you know, especially the worst time period was in 2020 when the pandemic was really at its height and I wasn't working enough and was very worried about finances and just would bet more and more. And it got really bad until 5/2/21 when my wife, Kelly, caught everything, thank God. And everything's been going good for the most part since then. It's been up and down a lot. But yeah, I don't know how deep you want me to go into it, but things been going very well.
Tell us what worked in recovery for you and then Kelly, talk about being the affected other.
What works for me, I mean, for me, the first thing I did was actually find your podcast. So just days in, I found, you know, typed in gambling addiction into Spotify and all of a sudden I hear these two guys, Brian and Chris, talking about Brian's story in gambling addiction. So that's what helped me early on was podcasting. And then I started by going to some in-person GA meetings, but that didn't really work so well for me. So thankfully we have this problem gambling support group. So it's, for me, it's been support groups. One-on-one therapy has been absolutely pivotal. Thankfully New York State will pay for one-on-one therapy for yourself and for your affected other. And that's done, you know, more for me than probably anything to really dig deep into why I've done the things I've done, why I feel how I feel, the inadequacies from early childhood that have just spilled over into adulthood. And so therapy, podcasting, and meetings for sure. That's what works for me.
And Kelly?
Hi, everybody. Basically, what's worked for me is getting the support for myself. You know, I never really had any experiences with addictions before this. So my main thing was that I wanted to understand the addiction part of it. I wanted to understand the, you know, the mental side of it, why he was doing what he was doing, because I just felt like I wasn't going to be able to move forward with it until I really understood that. So I went to Gammonon meetings, which helped. I still attend them each week. I actually talked on your podcast, Brian and Christina. I actually did an open meeting, which is how I met Christina, with other women, just talking to other people, listening to other people's stories behind it. I really just wanted to get as much understanding as I possibly could. That, and just basically, you know, therapy, we go to the same therapist together. I'm going back to school, you know, stuff like that.
Thank you, Kelly. And you guys, you each now do your own podcast separately talking about recovery. Do you want to say the names of them?
Sure. Mine's Fantasy or Reality, the GPP, where I discuss my gambling addiction and recovery. And Kelly?
Mine's iButterfly, a podcast for affected others.
That's wonderful. That's so needed. The affected others. I'm so happy that you're talking out loud about your story, because it will just help people to understand that they're not alone, for sure, especially from that affected other point of view. Well, thank you both for joining. I want to get over to Nate, who joined. Nate, it's good to see you, man. How are you? Would you tell
us? Hey, I am great, and I am inspired looking at Steve's guns over there. I was just about to put an apple in my sleeve because he has me feeling like I need to hit the gym. How are you guys doing?
He makes us all feel that way right now. Or just do a push-up or something.
Yeah, something, man. Jeez.
Nate, would you tell us a little bit about your recovery and what's worked for you?
Yeah, no, my recovery is going well, man. Life is going well. I'm just really trying to take this journey and appreciate the moments as opposed to looking at the destination. And just congrats on the episode and the work that you guys are doing. And I remember early on, this was a staple. I probably went through, you know, every minute of the day just listening to you guys and understanding more about it. And as I got more involved with the group and with Jeff and just knowing you, I couldn't be more proud of where you are and to be associated with such a group of people who are really out here helping people. And at the end of the day, that really makes a difference. So congratulations. I appreciate you. I know life isn't always easy, but you're still, you know, still pushing forward and still reaching out to others. And I couldn't be more grateful and humbled to be a part of this group and have the opportunity to just say thank you.
Hey, Nate, if you don't mind, could you just share a little bit about your journey with regard to anonymity? Because I always think about the very first conversation you and I had before you joined our support group and the concerns that you had about anonymity, and since then where you've come to be in terms of just your own recovery, dealing with your addiction and, you know, issues of that sort.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. And I think that's a good point, considering I just changed my name to Tate, just so that way I could attend a meeting and pretend I'm not the person that I am, being older and, you know, with your the group that you've created for younger members. No, I've embraced this journey as a part of me. And, you know, oftentimes when we talk about gambling and addiction, it becomes this separate issue. And the truth of the matter is, it's not a separate issue. It's okay to have an addiction. It makes you human, and it shouldn't be stigmatized. And I've really embraced that. I remember when we first met, I asked you some pointed questions about who would be in the group. Delaware is a small state. I'm from Delaware. And once you know one person, you know another person and the potential impact. For those who don't know, I'm an educator. At a public school. And I had some real concerns about really exposing or sharing who I was and who I am as a person because of the potential drawbacks. And I would be lying if I said that those issues were alleviated, because they're not. It just, the fact of the matter is, they're still there. I also have come to an understanding that it's okay to be human. And all of us in this group who are listening, who are hesitant about joining the group, we're all human. And to confront that has been eye-opening for me and has been life-changing for me. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I am a preacher standing on a pulpit. I'm a teacher in the classroom, I'm more of a visionary than a missionary. But what I do acknowledge is that I'm human, and anyone that I have the privilege to speak to or share my story with, or a portion of my story with, depending on the audience, I want to present myself and represent myself as authentic. And I don't know if I hadn't embarked on this journey, if that would have been the case. So Jeff, as much as I give you, and I don't know if we can curse, but I give you shit, so you might have to bleep that out, for being Oscar the Grouch. And I truly and humbly appreciate you. And Brian, I appreciate you for putting in the work to share this message, not just with me, but for other people worldwide. And I know we got a meeting coming up at 9 o'clock tonight. So I won't overshare. So I'm gonna cut it there and just say thank you and that I appreciate you all.
I feel like those should be the last words. Those are pretty damn good. But I want to give everybody else one more chance. This podcast is for the person struggling with a gambling addiction. I cannot thank you all enough for joining for this 300th episode. Thank you to Shane for coming up with this idea to have everybody come on the podcast and share their lived experience. Thank you so much. I mean, really, just this is beautiful. And I can't thank you guys enough. But I want to go around one more time. You're talking directly to the person who's listening to this podcast, and it's worldwide. I see the map of where people listen, and it is everywhere in the world. And so if you have any words, what can you boil it down to for that person still struggling who's not sure they want to enter recovery? I'll call on you. And if you have nothing, that's okay. Don't feel pressure. But for me, it's very simple. I'd say it all the time. It's that talking helps, and it does. I mean, it just lifts the weight off my shoulders. I get everything out in the open, and then I don't have anything to hide, and it doesn't cause me stress anymore to hide things. And that's what really helps the most. Just get it out there. And then turns out you run into a bunch of other cool people who are also struggling with the same anxiety, depression, mental health issues, gambling addictions, substance abuse, all of that. And you know what? We're not our addiction. And that's true by the fact that I've introduced like 8 podcast hosts during this show tonight. And everybody's got other talents. We're people who are multifaceted, and we aren't just defined by our addiction. And so if I could go around, if you have any words left for that person still struggling, if anyone wants to start, if you have something right now, if not, I'll call on you. Let's start with Jeff. Jeff is never short for advice.
Well, you know me, Brian, I don't like to give advice, but I do want to get something off my chest right now. And that is directed to Chris. How come you never invited me to be on your movie podcast? I'm a little bit hurt about that. And I just wanted to get that out because I learned in recovery, I can't keep things in anymore. And I'm a little bit hurt. So I'd be interested in knowing why.
I don't know, Jeff. Why he's referring to this as my podcast, much less this one. No, these are all Brian's brain babies. They're not mine. He just puts me in front of the microphone and says, introduce me. it's just four fools talking about bullshit about movies that 99% of the world doesn't care about or hasn't seen. I just moderate a little bit, but by all means, yeah, Jeff.
Done a little bit of that. We've reviewed movies on here just to talk.
We have. But you know, there's a difference between that and Chris inviting me. But it's okay. I'm good. I'm not going to relapse or anything bad.
Now I'm wishing that we could be doing the Pink Flamingos and say, Jeff, come on. You can come on for that episode.
Yeah, Jeff, you watch that movie and then we'll talk. Would anybody like to share some words? I'll just leave it to that. If anybody does want to share anything going out, any last things to share, it looks like Steve's going to unmute here.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, through my addictions and everything, I really thought that, especially with the gambling, I thought I was the only one doing these things. I thought there was something wrong with me, like deep down. I thought I just wasn't worth it. I just thought I was inadequate. I didn't think I was worthy of the people in my life. And what I've come to realize is you are worth it. Like you are, there's just because you're an addict, it doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make something wrong with you. And what really helped me was coming to terms with that, accepting that I'm a recovering addict, compulsive gambler. You know, I've had drug addictions, gambling addictions, but that's okay. And being open about it and being honest about it and really committing to recovery. I mean, that's what has helped me, just being as open as possible with as many people as I can. That's why I started doing this podcast. Thank God for your podcast. And congratulations on 300 for you, Jeff and Chris. I mean, you really helped us. You helped me. And you got me started along my journey. And I can't thank you enough. But being open and honest and coming to terms with the fact that you're an addict. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with us. We're just people. And it's okay.
Well, you've thanked me by starting your own podcast and talking more. As Christina said earlier, the ripples, and more people are talking about it. And that's the goal, is to get more people talking about it so people realize that this really is a big deal and we need to worry about our fellow humans and gambling addiction. Greg.
Thanks, Brian. One thing I think I missed when I was sharing, I know you mentioned about some of the poker stuff that I went through. Something that I think is kind of that I like to, you know, at least bring out from my story is that I guess a lot of compulsive gamblers or just gamblers in general think that there's an amount of money that you could possibly win that will be enough for you, that you'll be able to walk away and you'll be good. You'll be set for life. I think my story is firsthand proof of that not being the case. I could have been, you know, set for a lot of my life, but shortly thereafter I was not, and I was reaching out for help. And I think a lot of us have had to hit like these very, very low rock bottoms in our lives to actually understand of how severe of a problem that we actually had, and to even admit that we had a problem, in the first place. And like Steve was saying, it is okay to reach out. We're all human beings. You are not your addiction. So that's something I've definitely come to terms with, and just reaching out, talking to people, letting everything out, like you said, Brian, like this is therapy for me, just sharing with people who understand. And there's so many people. I walked into a GA meeting for the first time and I couldn't believe there were other people like me in the world. I really couldn't believe it. And what you guys do, how much you give back, it's just amazing. And people ask this question, like, would you go back and, you know, take away your addiction? I don't know if I would at this point, because I've learned so much and I think I've grown so much as a person, just because of my addiction. I've gone through so much, in my life, and I've learned and got to experience and grow as a person and develop new relationships with, you know, tons of people in this group that I would never have, you know, without it. I'm just kind of blabbing on, but thank you guys so much for how much you give back, and thanks everybody that's here tonight.
Thank you, Greg. Kelly.
Yeah, everybody stole my thunder as per usual, but that's okay. I just wanted to say, just like basically, just be in the moment. That's what's worked for me, is like stop and think about what you're doing. And I know that's very it seems like it's not very sound advice, meaning that it's hard to do. And sometimes you can't just stop, but it all comes into the fact that you need to, like you say, Brian, you said, first of all, you reach out and talk to somebody, and also the discovery that we're not alone in this. And that's basically what I wanted to say, is that you need to just step back, realize that maybe you do have a problem, and unfortunately admit it to somebody else, and that's what's going to work. Thanks again for being here, and it's made great. I've made great strides over the last 3 years, and I could not have done it without joining this podcast and without listening to this podcast and without listening to the other podcasts that everybody else has shared that they have. And it's made great wonders for me. So I'm very appreciative, very grateful, and thank you again.
Thank you, Kelly. Oklahoma.
That's me. I'm in Oklahoma. For me, I know how scary it is to step out of the chaos of this addiction. So what I would say to somebody who's listening, who's struggling, be curious of what could be next for you. As scary as it is, just even putting one foot into the recovery pool, and seeing what can help you, what can get you started on the life journey of being bet free and moving past this addiction. So yeah, I think it's very much just being curious of what's out there, the possibilities of what can help. If one thing isn't working, try something else and just keep trying something else. Don't get discouraged. If you go to a therapist and you don't like the therapist, go to another therapist, because there are amazing therapists out there who want to help us. And there are amazing people out there who want to help us. So just keep trying. Just keep trying. If you get pulled back in, try again. It's for some people, it's very much a process. And yeah, so that's what I've got for you.
Thank you, Tara.
There we go. Sorry, I was having a little hard time getting that mute button off. Just picking up on what Christina said a little bit, what everybody said, like if you're out there and you're struggling and you're suffering and you're thinking like, I can't quit, like it is possible. It is totally possible. And if you're believing that you can't, I want you to know that shifting your belief into knowing that you absolutely can, we are proof. We are normal, everyday, average, compulsive gamblers. And we all showed up in our betting in different ways, and our rock bottoms were in different places, and we bet on different things. And we all at one point in our lives, with the exception of Chris, who is a supportive person to us, and to Kelly, who is absolute, Kelly, am I getting it right? Okay. Who is an affected other, like all of us at one point had this belief that it was impossible, and it totally is. And Christina's got a note, you know, in the chat to me that says thoughts are not facts. And I operate from that belief today that, if you're thinking it's impossible today, that is just a thought and you can change your mind. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Tara. We'll go over to Tennessee. Arrested Development. Josh.
Thank you, Brian. And thank you to everyone who's shared all their thoughts. I just want to say you're not alone. No matter if you're in Seattle all the way to Tennessee or anywhere else in the world, you are not alone. And if you think you are wrong. There are people out there. Tell someone, talk to someone, and keep listening. Keep listening to this podcast. Keep reaching out for help. For me, it's just all it is taking that first step. And I promise you, there's people out there that love you so much no matter what you've done. And I've learned that through this process with family and friends, and the support I have is incredible. And I promise you, the people that love you, it won't matter what you've done. You know, they'll still love you. So
thank you, Josh. And Nate.
Josh, you have a beautiful beard.
You know, I got a beard too.
Was that Chris?
Yeah, it was. Isn't that funny?
That's hilarious, because that's what Brian mentioned earlier. So I do appreciate you guys.
Sorry, Nate, go ahead.
Yeah, no, all good. I just want to say YOLO. You only live once. And I can think about the times that I said that when I was gambling, to push me to make another bet. YOLO, you only live once. And I guess the message that I would have to anybody listening who's on the fence or thinking about whether or not they have a problem or what they should do is the saying, YOLO. Do you want to spend this time gambling, or do you want to spend this time with things that are important to you that make a difference? And ultimately, that choice is yours. So with that, I'm signing off. Remember, YOLO, and make the best of the time.
Well said, Nate. Thank you so much. I get asked Shane asked earlier, what is, you know, what episodes stick out to me? What is my favorite episode? And this is hands down my favorite episode. This was amazing. Thank you all for joining. Thank you to Shane and Dave and Kelly and Josh and Eric and Christina and Danielle and Greg, and Tara, and Steve, Kelly, and Nate. And thank you to my friend Chris, who started this venture with me. And thank you to Jeff, who continued the venture with me and has become a real damn good friend. And the final words of this episode go to Jeff.
Well, there's been a lot of humor around a lot of serious stuff here. And I remember going into a GA meeting and hearing people laugh. And I was early in my recovery and I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck is so funny? I'm miserable. I'm in pain. And somebody said to me, you know what? We deserve to laugh. But when it comes to our recovery, we take it seriously. And I think that's very true words. And appreciate you, Brian. And you know, I often get too much credit for this podcast. It's you, man, and you introduced me to it. And again, just like Christine said, it is a domino effect. We help each other, we help ourselves, and we go on to the next opportunity. And it's exciting.
Well, the opposite of addiction is connection. And here we all are connected. And anybody listening right now who thinks, oh, wow, I mean, is that what recovery is like? All you got to do is send an email to the show at leastreetpod@gmail.com and you can get connected with these same great people. So thank you all, truly, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This was 300.
This podcast is owned by Lee Street Media, LLC. Music provided by T. Vance. Remember, this is a podcast. The views expressed on the podcast are solely those of the hosts and the guests. If you need help for a gambling addiction, please seek professional help.